What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark.
The Bulwark.
Hey, Sarah.
What's up, my
Happy
guy?
Friday. We got a big show for you guys today. We're taping Thursday afternoon, and I am like exploding with schadenfreude because Christian Noem has just gotten fired in one of the most humiliating ways possible. There's great news about the war, really great war news. Who doesn't love a good war? And today, finally, Sarah and I are going to share some news about the top secret project that we've been working on for these many months. But I'm going to make you guys wait for that because we're going to do it on the back half because we do just want to share it first with the members. So, maybe if you want to be part of that big reveal, go hit subscribe. Yeah, how you like that? All right, best friend. So you and I are sitting down. I have just taped a 45-minute live shot with Tim and Andrew Egger over Christy Noem, who was fired by tweet while she was on stage giving a speech. So that it is not clear that she had any knowledge that she had been fired. What are your thoughts?
First of all, I wish I had just done the live with you so that I would know what everybody said. My main thing is that to me, it is funny. When I saw the first Wall Street Journal story that said he was considering firing her, the story made it sound like Trump's objection was that Christy Noem said in her in the hearing yesterday, the public hearing, which was a total debacle for her. But one of the things she said was she was asked if Trump knew about the $200 million that she had spent, which, by the way, the money was going to like pals of hers. But then more importantly, it was all about upping her name ID, right? It was all this self-promotional stuff, which is an old school Christy Noem tool. She used public funds to do that back when she was the governor of North Dakota as well. It was specifically about Trump. She says under oath that Trump knew about it. And so that's what he was mad about. Not the corruption itself, not the handling of the deportations, which were deemed unconstitutional, sending immigrants to foreign gulags, not the shooting of Alex Preddy or Renee Good, not calling them domestic terrorists, none of that.
No.
Or the corruption itself. That's all cool. The corruption itself has been there self-evidently for the entirety. She's been doing this the whole time, spending public money to advance her own name ID. It was that Trump was somehow said to approve of it, which means that, in my estimation, Trump must not have been getting his taste sufficiently, because if Trump had been getting the kickbacks that he needed, right? He's like a mob boss who it's
gotta
not
get his beak wet.
It's not the corruption. It's when you don't get your piece. When someone keeps your piece from you, that's when you're screwed. And so this was like straight up mafia rules. Did you guys talk about that on the thing?
A little bit, yeah. So this was and we've seen this before, where for him, the unforgivable sin is somebody else making money off of him without him getting a piece of the action. Now, my conspiracy theory here is that I believe this entire hit was a premeditated inside job being run by Stephen Miller. Here's why. Somebody, maybe it was Jared, went and did a quick count. Mark Wayne Mullen has been all over conservative video for the last like 7 to 9 days in ways that are, if you're just graphing it, huge spike.
Sure.
So clearly somebody's like, yep, he's going to be our new guy. We got to get him out there so that Trump has recency bias with him. I think that Kennedy, who asked the question, which supposedly got her fired, was probably set up to ask that question and told she will have to answer it in this particular way because she's concerned about perjury and this is the way we get her. And my guess is that this entire thing was being run by Stephen Miller. And this was a Stephen Miller op to get rid of her because she'd become a problematic to him and problematic for his continued project of getting rid of 20 million or 30 million or every brown person in America. And so this was all a coordinated hit to get rid of her, push her out, and get her replaced with a guy who he thinks will be even more pliant than she was.
That's a good theory. I wouldn't push back too hard against that. I certainly think I was surprised to see Senator Kennedy push her the way that he did. And so, you know, mostly the way that these hearings go is for Kristi Noem or Pam Bondi is that you get to the Democrats, they ask you tough questions, you filibuster and complain about bias and you scream and yell. And then you get to a Republican and you get in a nice warm bath. You know, they're just there to tell you how you're doing a good job. And boy, these Democrats are rabid against you, but you're doing great. And so this was, you know, some R-on-R violence. And when he came for her, it was a setup. It was like, and it was specifically just to, I guess, undergird your theory, is it was about Miller, right? Because this the thing in question was when Kristi Noem got asked about like, when everything was going sideways for them in Minneapolis after the Alex Preddy shooting. So the second time now, and the second time they've jumped the gun, calling them a domestic terrorist, or saying that it was their fault, they were doing something, and the video contradicts it. She came out and said, I was only doing what I was told by Stephen Miller and Donald Trump.
I was only following orders.
That, him getting dragged into her mess, I could see him looking for retribution or yes. And he does seem like a revenge, best served cold kind of guy. I gotta say, I'm a little surprised. I've kind of been under the operating under the theory that as bad as anybody is in the cabinet, Trump needs to run, like he's not going to throw them overboard because they know too much, which is why they seem to have given Kristi Noem a new little perch.
New perch. Question is, did she know she was getting that perch? Or did she find out when she walked off stage? That I don't quite know. Now, she must have known she was in trouble because she did drag her husband to the hearing with her to sit behind her and be humiliated. And I think she wouldn't have done that, because I'm sure that cost her something, wouldn't have done that if she didn't think that she was in serious danger.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the whole thing is wild. Did you see Jotter Fetterman has already said?
He's an eye.
Absolutely an eye. An eye vote. Yeah. I will ask
on Mark Wayne Mullen.
Mark Wayne Mullen, yes. Do you think a single other Democrat will vote to confirm Mullen?
No. I can't. I mean, okay, let me just think about who likes to be unorthodox in this. Here's the thing. I mean, I could see, and this is where I did just
Alyssa Slotkin.
I don't think so. I don't know what
she
Mark
voted
Wayne,
to confirm Noem.
But don't you think, I mean, in 99, it was 99-0 to confirm Rubio. I think part of the problem is that now they know a lot more. This person's going to be sitting on top of a major budget. They've got a mess to clean up. I mean, Mark Wayne Mullen, I can't say that I know so much about him other than I know the following things. He's extremely dumb, like Tuberville dumb. Like if you watch his media stuff, he is a not intelligent human whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So there's that. He's also, he does love to go on TV. So he does love to go on the right wing media, like do that stuff. But I don't know. I just tweeted a picture. I probably shouldn't have. But, you know, Mark Wayne Mullen's one of these guys who, you know, the election was stolen. And then when the January 6th people came and were banging down his door, he's crouching, you know, he's like crouching. Yeah, he gets like, he crouches in the well of the congressional seating, all like, you know, scared. And then, you know, then once you're out, he's back defending the January 6th people. So he's, you know, like a junior, not Tom Cotton, the other guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, not Tom. Josh Hawley
with the fist in the air. So I don't know why Mark Wayne Mullen, other than I guess he's part of like the dude squad with Trump's kids and Miller or something, but he's not going to be good at it. He's not like a better choice.
I just was the reason I asked about the confirmation is because as a matter of politics, I think it would be political suicide for any Democrat to vote to confirm him.
Yeah.
And I think because what it means is that you now own anything that happens under DHS. Right. You can't say, well, with Noam, we weren't sure what they were going to do or whatever. Right. For the seven Democrats who voted to confirm Noam, which I think basically should end their political careers. Like, I don't think you get to go any further if you voted to confirm Kristi Noem. But you really don't get to do anything else in Democratic politics if you vote to confirm this guy because of what you're signing up to own. And so I take this vote by Fetterman basically as a declaration that he is not even going to bother running again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is rushing out to say 30 minutes after, like, you know, he could have waited till tonight, till tomorrow morning, till somebody asked him, right? But to say, like, yeah, let me get out and tell people how hard I'm going to vote for this dude. You're saying, yeah, I'm done with this job.
What if he runs as a Republican? Can I just say, Pennsylvania has a long history of this. Pennsylvania is one of the few places Arnold Spector flipped from R to D.
Yeah.
I believe during the Santorum days.
Yeah, I believe so.
And you know, Pennsylvania's always loved its kind of more, it's not even, centrist is not the right word, but like it's pro-life Democrats and it's, you know, like they loved it. They loved it to mix it up. So it wouldn't shock me if he ran again as a Republican.
He's a pro-choice. He'd be a pro-choice Republican. Like I just don't think, I think that the Republicans would not want him. I think he is in a sour spot, the likes of which they would want no part of.
I mean, Trump is not pro-life, and everybody knows it.
Right, but like he votes on pro-life stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that would do to his marriage.
I do think Fetterman.
His wife is DSA.
He's not super well.
He's not well. So that's interesting. How about the war? Want to talk about the war?
Yeah, why don't you?
I wrote a big long
piece
about the war today. Did you?
I haven't read it yet. I'm sorry. What did your piece say?
Basically, that it looks to me like the idiot terrorists hiding in underground bunkers in Iran who run that country are smarter than the United States president, and that they have a clearer understanding of their objectives and a better alignment of their strategy to their objectives in this war than Trump does, and that this is bad for America.
Okay, this is a real classic JVL. So I don't know any of these people. I obviously don't think highly of Donald Trump's intelligence. But I don't know any of these people, so don't feel like I'm in a position to evaluate their actual intellectual capabilities. The idea that they are more clear on their objectives than Trump is sort of interesting, but let's just tease that out, right? So if their objectives are Death to America.
No, their objective is regime survival.
Okay.
Period. The end. Regime survival.
How do you do that in this moment?
In this moment, you do it by making the United States declare victory and leave while you still control the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because Israel is not capable on its own of regime change in Iran. They are capable of high-value target assassinations, but they don't have the throw weight to actually like put boots on the ground or do anything. Like, they don't have the throw weight to arm rebel groups or anything like that. They can't do that. They need the United States. And my just looking at what's going on is that the Iranians realize that they, I mean, their doctrine on this is mosaic, that they are a distributed networked organization throughout the government in order precisely to not have chains of command concentrated in one place. The idea is you can kill one node, but then the other nodes are able to function independently. And they have already succeeded in widening the war in ways that America was hopeful they would not. And to take the simplest, stupidest example. So American war planners seems to have believed we can keep the Strait of Hormuz open because we can prevent the Iranians from militarily closing it. And the Iranians seem to have understood we don't need our military to close the Strait of Hormuz. We need to make it dangerous enough that insurers won't insure traffic that is going through it. Because if you can't get insurance on your ship, then you can't send the ship through it. And when this happened, and all of a sudden maritime insurers were saying, whoa, hold on, cut that traffic out, we can't do this, the United States seemed totally flat-footed.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
Is the question, so this is, maybe what I'm reacting to is sort of the framing of your point when, what it is to me is like, it goes back to everything else. It's not that they're smarter than Trump or it's that we went in without a lot of contingency plans for what happened, but and they know what to do in that region of the world to exact an enormous amount of pain from us. Yeah. Right. And that's sort of just simple in general, because they know that there's a very low tolerance threshold for mass casualties of Americans or for this
pain
to go on for a long period of time, or the price of oil. So all you need to do if you're them, this is again going back to the they have the watches, but we've got the time, is like, okay, like we can just shoot rockets at you guys and do a bunch of things that make you both more ensnared in the region. And like, we know Donald Trump is eventually, and I think this, I guess this is your point, right? It's,
yeah,
it's not about smartness. It's about them understanding Trump, like knowing his play, his game,
yeah,
better than Trump sort of knows theirs, what they have access to. So they know that Trump, unable to endure pain over a long period of time, or at least they think that he won't, which is why I guess Hegseth is out there saying we'll stay as long as we need to and we'll do this, is like they're trying to counter the idea, yeah, that Trump might just turn tail and walk out. So, I agree with you that Trump isn't going to have the stomach for the amount of pain that will be, political pain that will be inflicted on him if this goes on too long and if too many Americans die and if the price of oil goes up too much. On the other hand, maybe he doesn't care and he just keeps doing it.
He cares. So here's my thesis. I'll just lay it. I'm going to save you the 5 minutes so you don't have to read it. My thesis is basically that we're playing checkers. The Trump administration is playing checkers and they're playing chess. The Trump administration's view seems to be, look at all the explosions. We can win a war through explosions.
Mm.
And the Iranians seem to believe that wars are won through logistics and political will. I would argue that that is the correct understanding of things and that explosions do not determine who wins a war. Logistics and political will tend to. And they understand that Trump, almost uniquely among Americans, like another American president, might get suckered in to like sending boots on the ground and staying for a long time. But Trump has never believed that there is a universe in which personal accountability applies to him. And so he could fuck all of this up over there. He could leave the whole, and just in ways that no other American president could, he could simply say, and I won. Look at that. Biggest win. Biggest. They said it couldn't be done. A guy came up to me, big, strong, tough guy. He said, tears in his eyes. Said, sir, sir, they said we could never do it, but we did it. A strong, historic victory. And now we're going back and where America's been great like never before. We're going to do a cage match, 250 year anniversary birthday party, cage match on the White House lawn. Dana White, very strong. Love that guy. Bald, weird. You ever looked at his ears? A little weird. So he could just do that and walk from the, in ways that like, it doesn't even matter what has happened. It doesn't matter if the region's a mess. It doesn't matter if all of a sudden Israel's like, what the fuck? I thought you were riding with us, bro. Like it doesn't matter if it creates short-term or medium-term danger for America. Trump can just walk in ways that no other American president would ever be willing to do. And I think they understand that about him.
Yeah, I think when you say can walk, what you mean is Trump is the kind of person who does not, he won't, if he walked into a store that was filled with precious things and it had a sign on it that said, if you break it, you've bought it. Trump would knock those things over, smash them, and walk out the door and not feel the slightest bit of compunction about the damage that he'd caused. And so I think in that regard, you're very correct. I think when, again, I always, you know me, I don't love the phrase, it doesn't matter, because I do think these things matter. And I think Trump, he might be able to do it. I don't think he can do it without consequences, not the least of which is, although I'm open to the idea that he does it in such a way that just like makes a mess that some other president has to come clean up, which is, but it also like he does. Sometimes I feel like I have to remind people it's only been like 13 months. It's like, so like if he does it, if he did that in the nearish term, there would still be years of us being like, I mean, the Iranians could conceivably reconstitute whatever they were doing during the point at which Trump is still president. So, yeah.
But that's problem. That's a problem for tomorrow, Trump. Today, Trump. It's not a problem at all. And I think he is going to be sensitive to things like gas prices, right? So gas prices, if we've had two of the biggest single day jumps in gas prices in American history over the last week. It was 2 weeks ago that Trump's entire affordability agenda was predicated around, look at the price of gas, look at the price of gas.
Yeah.
He will notice that. If energy prices go up, as a for instance, one of the things that happens is inflation goes up. If inflation goes up, that means the Fed can't cut rates in the way that they might want to in order to stimulate the slowing economy, which he is sitting on top of, right? Again, you just look at all the stuff that's coming out, right? Shipments of the raw components for fertilizers are like being totally disrupted, which means you're going to wind up with downstream effects with food prices going up. In Qatar, there's this huge aluminum smelting operation. It accounts for some significant percentage of world aluminum supplies. They've had to shut their smelter down because they believe they aren't going to be able to secure the supplies of liquid natural gas needed to run it, at least not at the prices they need in order to be profitable. Shutting a smelter down, it turns out, it takes months to restart it because these things are so complicated.
Yeah.
That's going to drive commodity prices up. You see, like all of these things, which again, it, when I say checkers versus chess, seem to have occurred to no American planners involved in this war. Who could possibly have guessed that they were like, do you see what I'm saying? Like it's, these things are all like, somebody on Substack said, it's like not understanding how the plumbing in your house works and thinking, well, I can just go over and jackhammer this wall here and everything will be fine, right? And not even bothering to look, well, is there anything in here? Does this wall have any? Is there anything in there? That, you know, and I just, we are being led by a bunch of fucking morons.
Yeah.
And they have walked us into war. And I just think, wow, man, this is great. We're being outthought by a bunch of guys who basically are from the medieval ages, who are terrorists and like spend all their time in bunkers, and they're the smarter ones than our leadership. Great. That's a good feeling, America.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, Bill, our buddy Bill, has been taking some heat online because he has been opposed to them, this sort of half-assed way that they've got into Iran. And he's getting, you know, his former friends, our former friends are all over him. Like, how dare you, Bill? You have said always we need freedom for the Iranian people. And
that's great. Are we doing that?
Are we doing
freedom for the Iranian people? I'm all for that.
Me too. And in fact, and this is where, so I was asking him, I was like, because, you know, Bill doesn't actually read what anybody else says. And so
he's smart.
Yeah, he is. He never reads the comments. Great lesson. And so I was like, hey, what do you make of people who are kind of, you know, dogging you because you said that Rubio shouldn't have just like walked into this war, Rubio and Trump. And he was like, yeah, because I don't trust them. And I was like, that's like just a perfectly legitimate reason, right? Like the idea for people who, I mean, people like Eric Erickson, who make me crazy, are sharing like 2012 articles from Bill about how you can't let Iran get nuclear weapons. Here's the thing. We all agree with that. We all agree that Iran shouldn't have nuclear weapons. We all
their
think
nuclear weapons
the
program
Iranians
was totally and completely obliterated, Sarah.
Yeah, I know. They
5 months ago.
It's amazing how quickly they rebuilt them. But this idea that you might, as somebody who does not think Iran should have nuclear weapons, as somebody who thinks that the Iranian people should be free, he didn't even, it's one thing, like, a month ago, they were in the streets. We could have gone to support them then. If somebody
could have established a no-fly zone.
It's right? Just, look, I will hold out the vaguest of optimism that this could turn out not horribly. But it doesn't seem like we have a plan, and you shouldn't trust any of these people. Like, it's perfect. No, I don't want to go to war with a president who seems to be running this whole operation. Like, the CIA did a really good job of planning the initial strike, of knowing where everybody is. Like, those things, American still have really good infrastructure.
The Mossad did a good job.
Okay. Whoever.
The Israeli intelligence on this was wildly impressive.
If you listen to Hegseth, like, they don't have any idea, going back to the beginning. They don't know what the objectives are, really. They've got conflicting reports from everybody. And all of that has created, I think, for a thinking person, if you just want to be like, well, you guys were for regime change in Iran 10 years ago. And we say, sure. And if any responsible president wanted to have a plan for how we would do this, had made a case to the public in their State of the Union, perhaps, since it was that week, had gotten congressional authority, laid out a series of, objectives and done it, that is different than what is happening right now.
Or even told us today that the plan is regime change. It is not even
they don't even know if we're at war or not.
It is not even the case of like, oh, I don't trust them. It's that we have five different versions of what's happening.
Just like with tariffs, by the way. Yeah.
Pick one. Tell us, is it regime change? Is it not regime change? Are we arming the Kurds and sending the Kurds in to do it? Are we not arming the Kurds? Is it a proxy fight? Are we committed to what form of government should succeed this? Is it we want to find a moderate element within the current Islamic Republic? Is that the answer? Or is the answer that the whole mullah system has to go? Okay, how are we going to neutralize the police and the Islamic Republican Guard, whatever the fuck their name, the Revolutionary Guard? What is the plan to deal with them? Like, what? I'm open to those things, but those don't even exist. So you don't even have to get to the step of, well, I don't trust them to execute that plan. Is that nobody has identified the objectives or the plan to get the objectives. Everything is, look at how much stuff we're splodin', bro. Boom! War fighters! Yeah! Gonna get me some schlitz! And the other side of it is people who are just saying, whatever it is, I'm down.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know that that's ever where anybody has ever been. Like, whatever it is, I'm down. I don't know what to say.
Well, a lot of people keep running around with the number that Trump has, you know, 80-something% approval of his own base of Republicans they actually split it up into MAGA Republicans. So there's some stats somebody asked about, like, MAGA Republicans specifically, they support him like 96%. And I'm like, okay, but what about just like all Republicans generally? Well, then the number drops to in the 70s. But of course, independents, among independents, who are the reason that Donald Trump is president today? 70% of independents are against the bombing of Iran.
As I wrote about this on Monday, there's a wide range of outcomes that are possible. And I don't think any one outcome is like a lot more likely than any other. But I don't have a catastrophic view of this. I don't think there's going to be World War III. I do not think it'll be a quagmire. I do not think that America will wind up sending troops in. I think the most likely outcome, by most likely, I mean it's like a 1 in 7 chance, is we drop a bunch of bombs for a few weeks, whether that number is 2 weeks or 7 weeks, I don't know, but it's something like that. It's less than 90 days. And at the end of it, prices are up and there's been a bunch of global instability and the region is a little bit on fire and trade is going down. We've worsened relations with India. We've worsened relations with the EU. And Trump says, look, we won, and he pulls out. And the Iranian regime continues, although it is degraded and a bunch of people are dead. And the global economy is stalled out again. And this becomes another, you know, like we get to Q3 in 2026 as we're coming up. And the Q3 numbers are very weak because of all the downstream effects from this. And we're on to whatever the next crisis is. Like we're on to Cuba and Havana because, by God, I am telling you right now, that Trump is going to intervene and try to topple the regime in Cuba. That is, take that to the bank, right? Go to Kalshi or Polymarket. That is, I don't have the
don't
timeline
do that.
In it for
don't
you.
Don't do that. Don't, you don't have to bet on Kalshi or but, Polymarket.
It'll be basically fine. We will have killed a bunch of people, dropped a lot of munitions, hurt the economy, and not accomplished very much. And we'll be on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, you're the foreign policy guy, so I defer to you.
All right, time to talk about the big reveal. All right, so everybody else, if you are listening, come join us. Come be part of the team.
Let's get to something I am an expert in.
Because this community is awesome. Before we can get to the reveal, this is why you want to join this community. So our shows out in Minneapolis raised $60,000 for Second Harvest Heartland, which is a great organization that helps feed people in Minneapolis. Especially those right now who are being impacted by the ICE invasion. Sarah wrote just a little email to members just to say thank you and sharing with them that we were able to do this together and saying like, and hey, if you want to give more, here's a link. We get a note from Second Harvest this morning, Thursday, saying, oh my gosh. Yesterday we got, I forget the number, $97,000.
No, I can tell you. It was $60,000 that we had donated from the show.
Right.
And so we were telling people we were able to donate this from the show, the $60,000 from the price of admission. And we got an email from the Second Harvest people saying that in that email where we were telling people that and saying, here's the link if you want to donate more, it was, I think, another $96,000 people donated from this community.
In a day from this community. So this is, we have the best people.
We do.
Come be part of it.
What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.